Welcome to Local SEO Today. On this podcast, John Fong interviews business professionals and entrepreneurs in many fields to uncover challenges and successes in business ownership. Our goal is to provide you with insights into the entrepreneurship journey and give you tips and advice from real experience. Brought to you by Local SEO Search, based in Toronto, Canada.
Joining me today is Jeff Weisbein. Jeff is the founder of Best Techie, which he actually started when he was just 13 years old. He built Best Techie into a digital media company where he led a team to create content and interview various executives for stories. His goal with Best Techie is to simplify technology and understand the advances around us so we can make more informed and confidential decisions. He also founded KYA, an audience insights platform to help publishers better understand and track their audience. Thank you for being here today, Jeff.
Thanks, John. Sorry, my intro is such a mouthful.
Well, I mean, it sounds great, right? Like, I'm very curious to find out a little bit more about, you know, your journey, because at 13 years old, I was out there playing sports, running after girls, you know, whatever.
Well, don't get me wrong, I was doing that too.
But yeah, so tell me, I know, I just want to get right into it and find out, like, so tell me a little bit about what do people know you by today and how did you get started in this whole digital world?
Yeah, so I'm gonna start with how I got started and we'll work our way to how people know me today. So as you alluded to, when I was 13, I convinced my parents to let me borrow their credit card, use their credit card to buy a domain and some web hosting services so I could start a website. And I bought, it's a crazy story. So I bought this domain, besttechie.net. And the .com was available at the time too, but 13-year-old me thought, well, the .net sounds cooler for some reason. I don't know why, just in my head, it sounds cooler. I'm going to go with that. So that's what I ended up buying. And I bought the .net I built a site on it, and really what ended up happening was I wanted a place to share my insights, things that I was learning, like in real time, because I was learning a ton about technology. I was helping people out on different websites and forums, helping them figure out how to fix computer problems and things like that. And really, and keep in mind, this was in 2003. This was well before Facebook existed, before MySpace existed, before, you know, many of the global internet giants that we know today, you know, existed. And you know, this was also like blogging wasn't really a thing yet. It was like an inkling of a thing. It was like just getting started. And there was a service at the time which was acquired by Google called Blogger. And I had been using that for a while, but I really wanted to have my own website. So I bought this domain and I started posting there. And basically, you know, as I got older each year, obviously, as most people do, I just started turning it more into a business because I saw different opportunities kind of arise. So, for example, about a year into running the website, I started the website in May, a little over a year, actually. I started the website in May 2003. And then in August of 2004, there was the first kind of opportunity that I saw, aside from just kind of posting on my own little things about technology, I saw this opportunity to get more people to come to the website, right? So the reason why that was is because there was a channel on TV, and when I lived at home and when I was younger, my TV was literally glued to this channel. To this day, I remember that the channel number was 175, and that channel was Tech TV. And I don't know if John, have you ever heard of Tech TV?
No.
Okay, so all right, so it was actually a cable channel that was started actually by Paul Allen, the late Paul Allen, one of the obviously co-founders of Microsoft. And he wanted to bring a technology channel to TV, so he started this network. And long story short, he sold it, and there were changes happening, and they decided that they were going to shut down the site. And on the site, I had developed a kind of a reputation as someone who knew what they were talking about, someone who could help people fix their computer problems and things like that. Now, the funniest part about all this is I was 14 at the time, and nobody knew I was 14. You know, because I'm, you know, you're typing, you're behind a computer screen. This wasn't like, you know, there was no uploads of pictures and like sharing your life on Facebook. And like, there was none of that existed. So no one knew that I was 14 years old. They just thought I was some, you know, 30, 40 year old guy, you know, whatever. So when they decided to shut down the site, I was like, well, let me start my own forums. Let me start a place where people can come, ask questions, get help. And that was kind of like the first, I think, like, I like to say, like, the first, like, time I really had this, like, inkling of kind of, like, business sense. Like, this is an opportunity to take advantage of type of thing. And that's kind of how I got started. So once the forums launched in August of 2004, so long ago, I'm still in the 24, you know. Yeah. So once we started that, it just kind of ramped up from there. Pretty quickly. I was 14, but I was thinking about ways to start, you know, eventually to start monetizing the site, ways to get more people to come to it, to get more members and things like that. I was obsessed with this idea of like building a community, and I still to this day love building communities. So it's just something I guess I naturally just like to do. But that's how I got started. And then what people know me for today is in terms of like is Best Techie. So Best Techie is still around. I'm still operating it now on an everyday basis. In fact, I just we'll talk about Kaya in a little bit, but I shut down Kaya at the end of 2017, and I was unsure of what I wanted to do. It was really like, well, I could go work somewhere else, maybe at a startup in the city. You know, I'm in New York City, and there's plenty of startups here, and I could do that, or maybe I could, you know, start something new, or maybe I'll just work on Best Techie more, because Best Techie was still doing relatively well, considering I hadn't really paid attention to it for about 4 years while I was working on Kaya. And basically, you know, I was like, I don't know, I'm gonna let me take some time. I started applying places, doing a number of interviews. Nothing really panned out, but ultimately, I was like, you know what? While I was doing all that, I was still working on Best Techie again because I needed something to do. I'm one of those people who's like, just cannot sit still and do nothing. That's like not me at all. So I'm always trying to keep busy and do new things. And essentially, it's funny because like, I didn't know what I wanted to do, but I wanted to work on Best Techie because I love it. I just love working on the site, and you know, and I just enjoy it. But at the same time, I wanted to also further my skill set even more. Kaya was an analytics company. And so one of the things I was doing when I was on LinkedIn, of all places, obviously looking for different roles that were open, I saw this ad for Harvard had started this new program called the Business Analytics Program. And I decided to apply for this program. And basically, long story short, I got in, which was really cool. And then I just graduated from the program at the end of September. It was a 9-month program, started in January of this year. And I went and I just graduated. So now I have a ton of free time again, and I'm back working on Best Techie. And I decided that I'm going to be working on this full time now going forward. So I'm really excited about where I'm at right now. And I'm thrilled that, you know, when you guys reached out, when you did, to do this podcast, I thought it would be great to come on and talk to you about all this stuff.
No, that's amazing. I mean, the journey itself, right? So how has it evolved? Because it's been like 15 plus years, right? Of you owning the site. So how did you get users to actually contribute content, or how did you get engagement and an audience? And from there, how do you continue monetizing?
Yeah, so those are some great questions. So early on, as I mentioned, the initial kind of influx of users came from just my reputation. Kind of people knew me as a person who knew about technology. So that was good enough to get the initial kind of bunch of people onto the site, right? But then from there, it's like, all right, now what? What can we do to further get more users, get more people on the site, get them contributing. And the way that I found that's best to do that is to, especially when you're building something like a community, like a forum, you as the leader of, you know, this community, if you, you know, that you're building, have to set the tone from the top down, right? So, because so the way and the way that works is, you know, you as a person need to set the tone and say, all right, this is how we're going to operate. And when people, when new people join, we're going to make sure that they feel welcome and things like that. And you just want to create a friendly kind of atmosphere within the site. And that way, you know, when people come, they're like, oh, this is great. People are so nice. They're helpful. So on and so forth. And it really worked, because what I saw was we had, you know, people developed real friendships with one another on the site. And it was really great to see, all while we were still getting new people coming in. A big part of what during that period of time, I'm sure you can attest to this as well. In that, from that 2004, 2005, 2006, forums were such a great way to build SEO, you know, to optimize, because the organic nature of them, because the questions that people had, oftentimes other people had those questions or similar or the same problems. So it was great for search engine optimization, where people were like searching on Google or like, all right, I'm having this problem. And then your site comes up. So it was kind of like a nice feedback loop, if you will, from that aspect. And also, obviously, you know, this was the time where like search engine friendly URLs became a thing.
He would think, yeah.
Right. So making that switch to, so they're more keyword-based URLs and things like that also helped drive people to the site. And just making sure that the environment that when they got there, that they, A, it was easy to sign up and you know, and get the information and get the help that they need. But B, that once they did do that, then that they felt welcome and that they had a good feeling about being on the site, that they would hopefully stick around afterwards and maybe help other people.
So currently, do you have a lot of active members that are daily users, just like, you know, a lot of these forums? And monetization, is it more ads, like affiliate because of traffic? Or are you using performance-based affiliates?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So for Best Techie, the forums itself, unfortunately, I mean, they're still around, but unfortunately, forums have become less and less popular, I would say. I think because of the advent of social networks. Yeah. So they're definitely less used than they once were. They still have people. I mean, we still have people who come in and check in and talk, and people who come post, ask questions and all that stuff. But it's not nearly the same level that it once was. Most of the work that we do on Best Techie focuses on high quality content, usually in the realm of either how-tos, insights into the industry, podcasts, reviews, things like that tend to be where I spend most of my time and people on my team spend most of their time creating that kind of content, because that is much more search engine friendly. And that's super important for us, because a lot of our traffic is organic. Yeah. Comes either through search or even direct. You know, social networks don't play as huge a role in our traffic as, let's say, other sites that are more news oriented. So we focus heavily on making sure that our content is something that people will search and will be looking for, and also at the same time is optimized for search. So like especially our reviews and how-to articles and guides.
No, those are amazing. I mean, positioning yourself, right, as a thought leader, right? Especially, right. You probably know all the metrics, right, for SEO. The big thing is understanding why websites rank in the first place and utilizing it so that you can monetize eventually based on how much traffic. Yeah.
Right. So, sorry, because I just wanted to also get to the monetization, because I know you had asked about that. So we do use a lot of direct ad sales. Okay. a lot of native stuff also. And also, obviously, we use things like Google AdSense. Yeah. And we also use things like Taboola. Yeah. I'm actually good friends with the founder and CEO of Taboola, he's been great to me. He's been actually pretty much like a mentor in many ways, especially when I was running Kaya. He's been super helpful, and he would sit down with me and we'd talk and we'd brainstorm, and he'd help me kind of think things through in a way that, you know, someone who has gotten to another level of success in the world of startups, you know, I'm a big fan and believer of, you know, you learn by doing, and by, you know, that's really the best way to kind of learn. And, you know, it's great to have someone who's been there, kind of done that, who you can bounce ideas off and be like, what do you think about this?
Yeah.
You know, is this the right way to be thinking of, even if it's like, is this the right way to be thinking about, even if that person doesn't give you an answer, which is actually sometimes better, you know, because as long as they can help you kind of shape the way you're thinking about it, you typically, you know, most founders, I feel like, will then come to a decision themselves that makes sense for whatever position they're in. But yeah, like, so we use different advertising tools like that, and we also do a lot of we also did a lot of affiliate marketing, and we're actually going to be doing more of that in the near future as well.
Gotcha. No, that's amazing. So a couple questions along your journey, right? So did you go to university or college? What did you study? And during that time, did you continue Best Techie, like, and keep building that audience and forum and engage with that, those members? Have you ever met any of the people that are actually moderators or people that have been loyal users of that platform?
Mm-hmm. Those are great questions. So yeah, I did. I went to university. I studied business administration with a focus on concentration in finance, actually.
That's what I
said. Yeah, so the reason why I decided to do that in the first place was because I felt, having built Best Techie prior to being in college and university, that, you know, I was pretty well versed in a lot of things. Obviously, I always love to learn new things, but like marketing, I felt like wouldn't really be beneficial to me. I felt like I knew a lot of the stuff, and I'd still be taking marketing classes anyway, so I didn't feel like the focus was on that. But what I did know was that I wanted to, at some point, try and raise money and build a business, a startup, you know, raise, you know, angel funding or venture funding. And I thought finance would be a great way to kind of be able to better wrap my head around what I'm doing when I'm doing that. And I think it worked. You know, it was certainly helpful when you're looking at term sheets and evaluations and things like that, to be able to understand kind of that stuff was certainly helpful. So I did study that, and I did, at the same time while I was in school, I you know, to be completely honest, I didn't really want to be in school. I wanted to do something different, but I went to school and I did it. And at the same time, I still worked on Best Techie. You know, same as what I did when I was just in the Harvard program. I was still working on Best Techie while in school. It was a little bit less than full time, but it still allowed me to continue working on the site. So I always find a way to make time to do those kinds of things, not because I feel like, you know, I have to, but because I want to, and I enjoy just doing those things. So it was great to be able to balance those two. And whenever you're working on two really big things at once, it's always a balancing act, right?
Oh yeah.
You know, you got to be able to kind of prioritize, all right, I have to do this for school, and then I also want to do this for Best Techie, and it's also super important because I told someone I'd do it, or I just want to do it. And so balancing that, it was always tough, but I'm glad I was able to get it done and do that while in school.
So another question is, I know you've been working on Best Techie. Did you ever have like employment with an actual corporation? Yeah. Or business over the years, or has this only been your one job all your life?
So I did internships while I was in school. I also did work as I was employee number 6 of a startup here in New York City for a while. I've done consulting work for other companies as well. So yes, I've worked for other people and also in other organizations, and it's different, right? It's different than working at your own company for sure. Not necessarily in a bad way. Just it's a different kind of experience. You know, sometimes you have to realize that, you know, it's not your baby. Like it's sometimes tough to like separate the two, right? When it's not yours and it's someone else's, and you're doing this, you know, to benefit their organization. Obviously, you know, you're hoping that you'll benefit from it as well, but it's still kind of weird.
Yeah.
It's different. I'm not opposed to, you know, I'm not going to say that it wasn't a good thing for me. I think it was great. I opened my eyes up to new ideas, new ways of thinking about things. And that's one of the key things I think as a founder, you need to be super, like focused in on, is that, you know, that you're always willing to learn and open your mind to new ways of thinking about stuff. Because if you get closed minded and you kind of just tunnel vision, you know, through, you know, then you're not growing as a person or as a leader of a company, and it doesn't benefit you at all.
Yeah. So where do you see yourself? Like, obviously you've been doing Best Techie for 15 plus years, right? Where do you see that company going? And do you think that you're going to try something new, try something different, continue growing, scaling? What are your thoughts on it?
Yes. I love these questions. I love these questions, John, especially because we are doing a lot of really interesting things. I feel like with Best Techie right now, it's a very interesting time for the company and for me, mostly because now that I just finished this program, I'm done with school completely now. I'm not going back. I think I'm done with school for now, definitely. But the nice part is it's opened the door now for me to be like, all right, I think this is just the beginning of Best Tech. I know I've been doing this for like 16 years now, but I feel like it's just the beginning. Like it's just like we're kind of like in the rebirth stage, I almost feel like, where there's a lot of different things that we can do, including we're going to be launching some sister sites very shortly, actually. And I'm super excited about those. I think they're going to provide a lot of, they're going to help us expand our content verticals. And also at the same time, I think they'll provide a lot of really new, interesting opportunities for us. So that's kind of what I'm focused on right now, is getting the day-to-day of Best Techie under control now that I'm done with school, and being able to focus on just, you know, finding a rhythm, which is sometimes the hardest part. Like when you get kicked out of a rhythm, when you're, you know, it's to get back into that groove, it takes a little bit of time. So as I mentioned, I finished the program at the end of September, and now it's the end of October, about a month. And I'm feeling pretty good about where I'm at right now. I feel like finally was able to wrap my head around the number of these, all this email that I had sitting in my inbox that just, like, you know, I was like, I don't know when I'm ever going to get to this. So I hired an assistant to help me with that, and she's been great. And finally we're able to get through that and like figure out, all right, what's next? And this, what's next is these sister sites.
I think, obviously continuing
to work on Best Techie as well.
Yeah. I think the big thing is you know how to grow a company. You've been doing it for many years, right? It's how can you scale it? How can you make it unique? How do you make it stand out? And how do you monetize further by offering different services, right? In different niches, or gain traction, or generate different audience members from different avenues, right? And utilizing what other tools are out there, right? Like social media could be up to your advantage by creating their own forum sites, right? Or groups, right? Same as LinkedIn. Create that group to actually position you as the expert, and then send some of the traffic to your existing site. So utilizing some of the different platforms that have a ton of audience members going to that site, And yes, organic search is definitely the highest return on investment in terms of like traffic numbers, but there's still opportunity that are quite affordable still too.
Definitely. I mean, one of the things that and the areas that we're looking to explore more is utilizing our social presence to help drive more traffic and thought leadership back to Best Techie and also these new sites that we'll be launching soon. And I think you're right about that, you know, it's funny because I used to be of the mindset, like, I want to post all my stuff on my site because it's like, it's my site and I want to post it there because I want people to go to it, right? And sometimes, and that's a good idea in theory. It sounds good, but realistically, you need to also kind of spread the love around a little bit. And using platforms like LinkedIn to be, you know, to publish on LinkedIn, where there's a massive audience of industry people, you know, within your specific field who are looking for that kind of content. It's a great way to get your name out there, but also to get people back to your site. You know, people be like, oh, who's this Jeff? That's Jeff guy. He posted this article on LinkedIn. It has a bunch of shares on LinkedIn. People are clicking it. They'll click through to Best Tech and they'll see Best Tech. And then hopefully, you know, you can convert them through newsletter subscriptions and things like, or just get them to sign up. So yeah, I mean, those are some tactics we use to get people in our loop, you know, in our content loop where it's like, we have newsletters, we have the podcast you can subscribe to, and we have the forums, obviously. And so, you know, these types of things are important to get people hooked and into your content, so that way you can keep them as readers, hopefully.
Yeah, I think the big thing is don't focus just on one medium. Focus on multiple channels, because even traditional advertising might work for some businesses, right? Don't lose focus on just putting all your eggs in one pot. Basket, especially if trade shows have worked for you in the past. I mean, this digital space, there's so many different opportunities for you to actually go into, like landing pages, creating funnels, creating even face social media funnels, right? Do performance ad networks, go ads, go different ways, right? But people that don't understand the digital space, it's very hard for them to actually get their head around it, that there's so many different opportunities. Even like YouTube videos, right? You can definitely monetize and advertise on that as well. Same as podcasts, you can do product placement. There's so many different ways, right?
Exactly. I 100% with you on that. I mean, so YouTube was a huge driver of traffic for Best Techie in early 2008, 2009, 2010. It was a huge drop. I think it was our top referral source for a long time, because I was creating video content like out the wazoo, like crazy, and a ton of people started coming to the site through YouTube. And I want to get, so a couple of things that you talked about, you know, we talked about kind of expansion in the sister sites, but other things that are on the books for, especially for Best Techie, is more video content, but also you know, looking into doing different courses and things like that, which we can you know, cross promote on social platforms. I think LinkedIn would be great. I think there's a, you know, I have people that I talk with a lot on Twitter. It's a huge platform for media people and also tech people. So it's right in my vertical. You know, getting engagement there is obviously also super helpful. And yeah, so those I totally agree. Leveraging, you know, the various social networks is critically important. But at the same time, I always like to preface when telling people this, don't overextend yourself, right? Like that's a trap that you can easily fall into, where if you overextend yourself, you're on too many different platforms. What's happening then is you're not doing a good enough job on each platform because you're spread too thin. You want to be able to invest in a couple of platforms and really invest in them.
Yeah. No, that's amazing. So growing up, did you ever imagine to be your own boss? Like, were there people that inspired you? Were there like your parents, or, you know, did you look up to people? Like, how did you start your business since 13 and you're still doing it? Like, you know.
Yeah, so, yeah, I mean, I guess my family has been kind of entrepreneurial. So it might be my genes. I've always been a little weird myself.
Well, I mean, but that sets you apart, right? Like, being right. different is fine. As long as you find your own tribe and you're able to make it, you know, the most out of it, right?
Yeah, definitely. So yeah, I mean, like, I never, being that I started, you know, this website when I was so young, I don't think I necessarily thought out that I was going to be doing this forever. I mean, I was kind of just like, I'm in the moment right now. I really like this stuff. I'm super passionate about it. And that's another thing that I think is important. Like, if you're not doing something you're passionate about, at some point that fire that you have is going to die out. Like, it's just gonna be like, why am I even doing this? And that's why I can't stress enough that the stuff that I'm doing, I really love. To answer your question, I don't really know why, you know, I ended up doing it. It was more like I wanted a way to share information. I remember thinking at the time that it was going to be a valuable way to share information and that people were probably going to be searching for stuff like this. And like, I wanted to help people. So that was my original kind of intent with all of this. And I just to build a place to help people learn about technology. And I wanted also, obviously, as I mentioned, an outlet to be able to do that.
That's amazing.
And just it kind of evolved. I think, you know, what's nice because it kind of evolved naturally and it progressed in a way that over the years, as I got older and I started to realize certain things that I could do, as I would continue to obviously learn about the internet and the web and how to, you know, build different things on it. It just kind of opened my eyes. And I've tried so many different things over the years, really. Like, you know, I have ideas and then I'm like, all right, so this sounds cool. Maybe, you know, maybe it's worth kind of trying out. Not everything I do turns to gold. in fact, most things probably don't. And that's just the nature of the beast. But like, when you find a couple things that you can do really well, you know, that just feels really good. And and it leads to, you know, you obviously, if you're able to then do it more, that's even better.
I think it sounds like you were onto something at such a young age. Like, you kind of found your passion and your purpose in such a young age that at that time, adolescence, there was so many peer pressure, right? There was so much going on in life and you were able to find an outlet that allowed you to think light years away from what other people were thinking, like creating networks. Like, look at Facebook. You kind of create your own on a micro level with people that is your tribe and community, right? And then you engage with them. And this was forward thinking, and this is amazing that you've kind of done that and you've evolved and you learned and you practice and you, you know, tested it and you're still sticking with it. It's amazing, right? Because
I think so too. I sometimes it's crazy because I think about it, like I sit down and I'm like, and like I'm my own worst critic. At the end of the day, I feel like a lot of founders usually are, and a lot of people just in general are. And the same is obviously true for me. But, you know, sometimes when I step back and I'm like, all right, there's this company that just emailed me and they want me to review their product. Like, that just didn't fall out of a tree. That's because of years of hard work. Like, you know, like, that they put me on their list because they want me to review it so that way it's on my site, right? Like, so when you step back and you think about it like that, it's like, wow, that's actually pretty cool. Yeah. So I 100% agree with you on that. Like, I feel like you never know what could happen, and also at the same time, following to do what you love, I feel like always ends up.
You know, exactly. And at that time, I mean, you didn't even know the money aspect of it. You didn't really chase money, right? A lot of this boils down to, like, I talk to a lot of entrepreneurs and business owners, and they're doing things for all the wrong reasons, right? They think there's great opportunity in terms of like monetary, and what does money really buy you, right? And you know, it's true, like more money means more problems, right? Like really, yeah. Why are you doing what you're doing? And if you hate it, what's the purpose? Like you're never right. gonna put your blood, sweat, and tears in it if you're not even enjoying what you're doing, and you wake up miserable every day wanting to do that, right? Like it sounds like you found your calling at such a young age, and you're living proof that you're still doing what you love, right? It sounds amazing. So some of the changes, like I know you mentioned you've made a lot of mistakes and a lot of, you know, how did you overcome them, challenges over the years? Like, can you give some examples?
Sure. So a lot of mistakes in terms of figuring out like, I don't even know where to start. So like a lot of the things I'll give one example with Kaya, the analytics company that I started, right? When I had built, you know, websites and online communities and built Best Techie into a media company, but I never actually had built an actual like product that people like would install on their website and use, right? With the dashboard and everything. Like that was completely new. I had never actually built a product from the ground up. So that was a whole learning experience in and of itself, which led to a lot of mistakes, you know, figuring out how to go about doing it in the first place, you know, who to work with, and that was a huge headache. I hired, you know, some people that I was friends with that I had known originally. And, you know, that was just a nightmare. Getting to an MVP, a minimum viable product, was a very difficult task. But, you know, we got something. And then I was able to finally, a couple months into Kaya, able to bring in a CTO and revamp the entire product, everything that we had so far. But I just remember thinking to myself, why can't we just do this? Why can't we just like add these features? Like, I want to add these features. I want to bring on major news sites onto the platform. And my CTO looks at me and goes, if we do that, the entire thing is going to break. Right? I'm like, are you kidding? Like, so, you know, I took his very sage advice, and I was like, all right, let's set a timeline. Let's say, how long do you think it's going to take for us to fix this, to get it to a point where we can actually scale the product? He's like, a month, 2 months. I was like, are you kidding me? And, you know, as a founder, you know, a small company, startup, in you just want to go, 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 go. You want to get more people onto your platform, onto your product or whatever, as soon as possible, because you want to get usage numbers up. You want to get whatever, subscription revenue, anything to show that there's need for your product. There's that product, that special word that they use is called product market fit. And I finally, after a couple, you know, after like a couple hours of just talking to him and like trying to figure this all out, and I was like, all right, fine. You know what? Okay, let's slow it down for a little bit. Let's get this stuff working, and then we'll move on to like the actual new features that we have planned and things like that. And so that was not necessarily a mistake, but that was more of a mistake that could have happened that I'm glad didn't. Because if I had onboarded people when I wanted to, and if my CTO didn't stop me, it would have been a nightmare. No one would have used the product at all after that. It would have been completely terrible. Yeah. So there are countless instances of like that, especially, where part of it's just learning as you go. And really, like, the only way to do that is to mess up or almost mess up and be like, and have someone there to save you from messing up.
Well,
you know, to make you think twice about it.
Yeah, it sounds like just surrounding yourself with people that have experience or gone through what you've kind of gone through, or even pick their brain or being there along your side, because over the years, like, that's what I found to be the most beneficial, right? Having people that actually you can trust, that you can turn to when you're in need, and really they can help you, even if it's like a couple minutes of guidance or refer you to some people that are expert matters in that specific situation, because you are an expert in your own world doing what you do. But you're not an expert at, say, accounting or HR or operations or marketing. And there's so much more involved in running a business, right? Especially in a tech startup, right? Like a SaaS or whatever it may be. If you're looking at funding, you may want to look for startup VC, you know, experts have gone through many funded companies, right? To pick their brain and ask them, what do I need in this situation? What would you do? Can you give me advice? Right. But that's what I've learned as well over the years. I mean, I know I don't know everything and I probably don't know a lot. Right. So for me, I'm okay with that and I'll make mistakes, but it's okay to ask. And one of the things I've learned is just it's okay to be vulnerable. It's okay to not know everything. Right.
Yeah.
And the more you realize that, the more successful and the less failures you're going to have in the long term, right? And you know, at least you have a viable product and people are willing to buy your product, right?
Or absolutely. I mean, you don't, and you, to be honest, you shouldn't be the smartest person in the room, right? You know, if you are, then well, that's somewhat of a problem. It's actually a pretty big problem, because you know, then everyone's going to kind of look to you for the wrong reason, like, you know what I mean? Whereas, you know, you want to surround yourself with really smart people about who know things that you don't know, or who have differing opinions than you on many things, because you, as the founder or the leader of the company, it's your job to take what everyone's saying, synthesize it, and then make a decision based on that, right? And in order to be able to do that, you need to have other people around you who are smarter on, you know, than you in different things, or just have different opinions. Because if everyone just looks to you to make the decision, then what I found is that not all the options get weighed when they need to be at the beginning. You know, it's like, oh, let's do it. And then it's like, oh, wait, that possible outcome looks like it's actually happening. The one that we didn't consider. Oh, right. Okay. So now we have to go and kind of figure out how to solve that, because we didn't think of it before.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. So in terms of like, I know you have your own forum, right? Like digital forum. Have you ever done like a lot of the live events or networking events in person, or has it always been more digital online platforms?
So to date, it's been online mostly, through different platforms. But that being said, I love when communities put together events in person. I think that's great. At some point, I would like to do that at Best Techie. I don't think it's not something that's on my radar right now, but it's something that, you know, that's kind of out there that I would like to do at some point.
For sure. No,
I find them to be super helpful.
I think if you have a big enough community and people are willing to pay to listen or to get advice from speakers that are thought leaders or people that they respect, right? Industry experts, and you know, they can bring value into it, or they've been following that person for years, right? And that's someone they look up to, and you're all able to be in one room together and inspire one another. I mean, that's always very powerful and impactful, right? Especially meeting in person versus like Zoom or anything digital form, right? It's just bringing a different dynamic into play. Because personally, I've been in sales all my life, so I like meeting people in person. And like the social media aspect of being present, I'm not the strongest, I have to admit, but I know it's vital to grow your business. But again, I focus on my strength with it, which is dealing and working with people in person, because that's my strength, right? And everyone has their own strength. So just focus on that, definitely. Another question. So what continues to drive you to do what you do? Like, what continues to drive you to work on Best Techie? Because it sounds like you've been doing it for so long, right? Like, what is your purpose today versus when you first started? Is it very similar? Has it changed over the years?
Overall, I would say the overarching themes are very similar. Okay. When I started it, as I mentioned, it was all about, you know, creating a place to help other people, to share my thoughts on the space, which was evolving very quickly, still is. And today, those things are definitely encompassed in what the overall mission is, which is really to build a place where, you know, people can come learn about technology, get answers to their questions, and kind of just, have a positive experience with technology. And really that's what we want to do. So like one of the things that Best Techie we used to do was we used to cover a lot of news stories also. And I essentially have cut most of that out. And, you know, that shift in strategy, I think, is super important to kind of the future and where we're at right now, which is essentially focusing on what I like to call, you know, the how-to guides and the insight analysis and the reviews. So really, you know, the mission's the same, to help people understand technology better, but, you know, it's just evolved slightly more to be broader. And as you'll see, not just about tech and business, but once we launch these new sister sites, it'll be about other types of content as well.
No, that's amazing. And again, pivoting, right? So changing your strategy and knowing what your focus is so critical to success. So aside from business, I know you live in New York and there's so much to do, right? From sports to nightclubs to restaurants to, you know, Central Park and all the Broadway and stuff. What keeps you like grounded? Like, what molds you? Like family, health, community, aside from business, what are some of the other pillars that really keep you grounded?
For me, it's definitely my wife. She's been there for a long journey, as well. So we actually met in 2005. So 2 years after I started the website. So she's been around for almost as long as Best Techie. So she's seen it go through various, you know, pivots and just phases, and as well as me. So she gets it, and it's great that she's fully supportive of that as well. Obviously my cats, I have two cats, one, named Zuck after Mark Zuckerberg, and one named Nala after the Lion King. And Zuck is definitely, you know, we didn't get him as a therapy cat, but he and I have a very strong bond. Like, we've developed this strong bond, and like, he knows when, like, I'm like frustrated or upset, and he'll like try and push me away from the computer and make me spend time with him. And like, it's annoying in the moment, that's for sure. But ultimately, he's right. I need to step away. And I think definitely stepping away from work and the computer, just all that stuff, you know, my phone, certainly helps keep me grounded in that aspect too. Like, just going to hang out with friends or watching a movie or going to see a show on Broadway, which I love going to see shows on Broadway. It's awesome. If you have never been to a Broadway show, you definitely need to once in your life. It is so worth it. And they're just so fun, so cool. It's unlike anything really you can ever experience elsewhere. But yeah, so just trying, you know, I like playing soccer a lot. I'm a huge soccer fan, not really of watching it, but more just of playing it. And yeah, I just, you know, that's typically how I stay grounded by doing all those things kind of.
Well, you got to live, right? And that's one thing business owners have to understand. You can't be in your business all the time, right? And it's really
good. Yeah, I made that. That's definitely a mistake. You know, going back to mistakes real quick, that's definitely a mistake I've made in the past. You get so absorbed in everything you're doing that you forget that you forget to just live your life and try and enjoy your life.
Why are you doing what you're doing ultimately?
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
You can't be, unless you're living, like, you're passionate doing what you're doing, which you sounds like you are, right? But you can't just keep living in it. You got to take a step back, and good thing you have your cat. But in the mornings for myself, I go to the gym, and that's where I reflect. And I'm very appreciative of what goes on and who I interact with. And things like that, I take note, and I'm very, like, fortunate that way that I'm able to. Not a lot of people are able to, right? And we live in a society like North America. We can do whatever we want and, you know, make mistakes, and we have freedom, and, you know, we have the abundance of everything, right? So there's no excuses for not to take action and do something with your life. So it sounds like you're definitely on the right track. Lastly, so I wanted to ask you, so how can some of the listeners get a hold of you, reach out to you, connect with you on social, email you?
Sure.
Share some of that.
So real quick, I just want to say, I love that point that you just made, John. I think it's right on the money. One of the things that I had to learn how to do over the years was, aside from taking breaks, was to celebrate the little wins along the way and kind of reflect on those and be like, you know what? Yeah, what we did was great, actually. We just landed this great client, or we just, you know, we just set a new record for visits. And it's like, but like, as the founder or the company leader, the CEO or whatever, you know, your eyes are always set on the next goal immediately after, right? I'm like, all right, great, we did it. On to the next thing. But you really should celebrate that little win, you know, reflect on it, be like, you know, we worked really hard to get to this point. All right, that's great. Feel good. And now we're going to move on to the next thing. In terms of contacting me, I'm all over. I'm on Best Techie. Obviously, you can reach me at jeff@besttechie.com. I'm also on Twitter at Jeff Weisbein. And those are probably the two best ways to get in touch with me, via email, jeff@besttechie.com, or at Twitter. I'm Twitter at Jeff Weisbein. You have a good chance of getting my attention.
Awesome. Well, thanks a lot, Jeff. I really had a great time talking to you. Hopefully you had fun. And great insights, great story. I love your journey. I'm looking forward to knowing what the next 10 years is going to be.
Best Techie. Me too.
Sounds like you're going to be continue doing what you do. And there's definitely an audience, and there's definitely a lot of people that follow you. So it was my pleasure. And definitely we had a lot of fun. And thanks a lot for taking a lot of time out of your busy schedule to be on the show. So thanks a lot, John.
Thanks, John. I really appreciate you having me. It was a lot of fun.
Thank you for listening to our latest podcast. Please subscribe to Local SEO Today and tune in to our next episode.